Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. We're officially T-minus 1 minute. Now, you may think that that's because of all the rigmarole, because we're recording this just before the celebration of Omega's landing of a watch on the moon. But actually, it is T-minus 1 because it's currently 1 minute to 3, and Hodinkee are due to release a limited edition Blancpain watch in exactly 1 minute. It's $9,900, they're making 100 of them, and we're going to see how much we can say on this podcast before it sells out. I'm reckoning it'll be about 5 minutes. What's your over and under, Ricky?
Well, what was the last time that they did a special edition? And what time is it in America right now?
It is 10 a.m. in America.
Okay.
What was the last special edition they did was the Auris, which sold out, I think, in 14 minutes. Oh. But there were several hundred of them. There's only 100 of these, but they are four times the price.
Well, Catelyn and all our pals in the trailer park should be just about coming out of their drunken stupors by now. So it could sell out pretty quick.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just going to sit here on refresh until it sells. So it's T-minus zero, so that's it. The email has started to drop.
And how many are we buying to scalp and put on eBay?
I think we should buy all 100.
Got to catch them all.
Catch them all.
Good.
So, yeah, they are now officially for sale. I'm on the website. Mm-hmm. Yep, they are still available.
Go and buy one. See if you can use your old trick.
1 minute eye to see if it will...
Is it nice looking?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It's like a stripped down version of the existing 50 fathoms. It'll be all retro and all. It'll have been Ben Clymered into history, so it'll be...
Does it come on a tweed strap?
It looks very nice. It comes on NATO straps, two NATO straps, and two sail canvas. It says two sail canvas and a grey NATO, but it looks like... The picture makes it look like it's a leather strap and two NATOs, but what do I know? I'm not the expert on selling $20 NATO straps. That's Adrian's job.
So you're blind and deaf.
It's very nice looking watch. I mean, I really do like the 50 fathoms. It looks old, it's retro, it's funky New York. It's all the stuff that folk are in jumpers like. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I'm sure it'll sell out in less than a few minutes.
Right, keep an eye on that.
Still available. We are 2 minutes in to the podcast and it's still available. Anyway, so how's you?
I am okay.
There's quite a lot going on, quite a lot of watch stuff going on this week.
Is there?
For this particular show. Yeah, there's one or two. Have you seen Moser's stunt that they've pulled? No, we know that Moser are the home of a good stunt.
They are the masters of being cunning stunts.
Yeah, cunning, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Hunt is the new Prime Minister. I believe... We have a sellout, 4 minutes, and the Blancpain 50 Fathoms from Hodinkee is sold out. So that is 100 of them. So if I add two zeros onto that, that is $1 million that Hodinkee have just raked in. We know that they buy these things at... Oh, where's my calculator gone? I must have a calculator around here somewhere. Let's just figure out...
Abacus known you.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a calculator. It is quite an old calculator, as we said. So they have... So we'll come back to the Moser thing in a minute. So $9,900. There's 100 of them. So that's $990,000 they've just raked in. And we know that it's about 35%. So $990,000... And we'll take 35% of that number. They have just made themselves $346,500 in 4 minutes.
At least, because, well, what's dealer margins and watches? Probably 38 to 50% in some things.
Yeah, but as I understand it, the way there was an interview with Ben that he did with Waco, and it was basically saying that they paid, and this was historically, it may be better now, but effectively they paid 65% of the retail price of the watch.
Was that not just MB&Fs though?
No, I think the implication was that that was basically roughly how the deals were all structured. Effectively, they bought them wholesale, and the wholesale was in the kind of 60% margin. And actually, Paul Thorpe was on some... I think it was a podcast, actually.
Was it a shitty podcast? I don't know.
It was two English guys speaking. I mean, who's going to listen to two English guys speaking?
Was that the podcast you phoned me up about and said it sounded like the Cray brothers talking?
Two Scottish guys talking. Millions of people listen to that.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway.
Right. So that Paul was, that was over and done with within 4 minutes.
Yes.
Which is even quicker than your bedroom antics.
Well, not according to the user group that you were in with the Half Watch Tuesday guys. They reckoned you'd taken about 13 seconds, but that's a different story. You'll be speaking to those guys shortly. Because I'm away in my holly bags. So there you go. You're going to have to do without me. Anyway, right. So well, I'm off to Florida. But anyway, so Ben Clymer's just made a cool, well over $250,000 in 4 minutes. So that's a couple of Porsches for him. And back to Moser. So what are Moser doing? Moser have got this Pioneer Center Seconds funky blue-black edition.
Right.
And what they're basically doing is they've given it to one person to wear for a week sort of thing and then just pass it on to somebody else. So they've not bought it. And the idea is it goes round the world for a year. So if you happen to come across this, and I've obviously put up my hand to say, if anybody wants to send it to Scotland, send it to us. But if you happen to be lucky enough to get hold of this Moser watch to try it a bit on for a few days and then pass it on to somebody, do consider hashtagging Scottish Watches in it, or, you know, sending it our way. We can be contacted by a direct message on Instagram account.
That's quite interesting.
So it's quite a cool idea. It's quite a cool idea from Edward. I mean, for the cost of a watch, they're going to get a load of publicity, loads of great photos. It's just another good move from Moser. There we go.
Well, you're still there?
I'm still there. You sound like you've fallen asleep.
No, just rearranging my junk. My balls were sticking to my legs. So
okay, that's good to know.
Yep. On and Facebook, you know how you get up friends, not friends in common, but people you may know?
Yes.
He popped up.
What, Edward?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Like, instantly, as if, and that usually happens when someone's looking at your account on Facebook.
Oh, right, okay. Right, you think we're being stalked by Moser?
Well, I quickly added the guy and he instantly accepted. So
yeah, I think I'm friends with him as well, actually.
You don't have any friends.
Well, that's just true.
Well,
this
I'll tell true. You, right?
I now. Have I've people I know.
You've got acquaintances. So he popped up, and when you see somebody's name popping up in people you may know, it generally means that they have looked at your page, and that's why they've appeared. That's a handy hint for all you guys out there, if you're wondering. So that's interesting. Maybe they'll want to get in touch about that special edition Scottish Watches collab that we keep talking about with them.
Yes, absolutely. Tartan one.
I've got a contact at bars. I can make this happen. I can have this out for Christmas. This could be our number one bestseller.
Yay.
This could sell out in 69 seconds.
I was going to say, we'll sell it in less than 4 minutes, surely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I'm just going back to this. That is staggering. Houdinki have just cleared themselves of $300,000 at least in 4 minutes. I mean, that's just crazy. And, you know, ADs everywhere should be incredibly worried. How many, I mean, they've sold 150 fathoms in 4 minutes. How many 50 fathoms do you think are sold in the UK in like a year?
Mm-hmm.
Probably in that sort of region. And they've sold 104 minutes.
104 years.
Because of their media reach. Just incredible. I mean, fair credit to them. They are their boss.
They are the Apple iPhone of 2007 and 8 before Steve Jobs decided to leave this earth.
However, somebody is about to have a go at them. So this morning, Chrono 24, who we all know and love, because we probably all spend far too much time just surfing dream watches on it. There was an interview with the guy from Chrono 24, Tim Straka is how you pronounce him, or Strake. I would phone him up to ask him how he pronounces his name, but we don't have that kind of relationship yet.
Is that the guy that was interviewed in a podcast?
Yes, so Tim Straka was interviewed on Worn and Wound, and he's the guy who effectively owns Chrono 24. He bought it, him and his buddies. I think he's the CEO now. And he dropped a hint that one of the directions they were going to have to move in was, rather than just being an advertising platform for dealers and individuals for selling watches, that they were going to actually have to start taking stock on themselves. And lo and behold, this morning it drops that they have bought a German company called Zeitatru. There, I'm going to murder this. So it's Zeit, as in Zeitwerk. So Zeit Auction. So Zeit Auction, effectively. And it is the service watches, the buy and sell watches. They are a big advertiser on Chrono 24. But basically what this allows them to do is to have someone that if you sell a watch to Chrono 24, then Zeit Auction can service it, check it out, check it's real. You can basically do what Watchfinder are doing for Richemont.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have Hodinkee going into Japan. We have Revolution making it big in the USA. We have Chrono 24 buying Zeig Auction. We have Richemont buying Watchfinder. So the big question is,
then moving into Scotland,
buy Scottish watches. Ooh. Exactly. Are we for sale?
Everything is for sale. You know
everything
that.
Is for sale.
I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a guy on my Facebook page who's in quite a few mm-hmm. of the watch groups, and he has launched a business that sounds a little bit similar to Chrono 24, but UK based. So I'm going to be having a wee chat with him. See if I can get some more details about that. So yeah, stay tuned on that one. But as for selling out, everyone else, I mean, everyone sells out, it seems, on YouTube and podcasts and websites and everything.
Are you suggesting that it's about time we did it?
I don't know. Is there anybody out there that wants to be
Daddies? We have had a discussion about this. So yes, we are going to, well, if you would be interested in teaming up with two Scottish people that talk more about movies and cars than they do about watches,
and
then this is the place to go. Comic-Con events, then mm-hmm. this is the place for you. So yeah, I think we will stretch our legs. I've had a look at the whole Patreon thing. I'm not convinced. I feel a bit awkward about asking folk to directly sponsor.
I don't like
us
it.
Like that.
I don't like asking.
I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, historically, I mean, I've done a lot of things in the past, and I've never asked punters to, when I ran mm-hmm. like car websites and forums and all that kind of stuff and clubs, never mm-hmm. wanted to ask people that were involved in it to put their hand in their pocket mm-hmm. for things. Even merch, mm-hmm. never was interested in that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Also because it's a pain in the arse to be dealing with people's 5 mm-hmm. and 10 and 20 pounds. The logistics is a nightmare. We always went for dealing with companies that were in the mm-hmm. same areas that would be of interest to people. So I don't think Patreon. It looks like you're begging as well, you know? Whereas if...
So, but no, I mean, I don't have... I absolutely don't have a problem with folks using Patreon.
No,
I mean, the guys at 14. But maybe it's a I think it's a Scottish thing. I think in America, people are quite happy to say... It's a bit like the attitude in America to tipping waiters and waitresses, that they make a lot of money, they make their wages through tips rather than through proper social standard minimum wages like mm-hmm. we have in civilised countries. I think people find it much easier to ask in the States, and also are much more prepared to give in that culture. I just feel a bit odd about it.
No, so no interest.
At the moment we're not going to go there.
Yep.
But if you are interested, and let's make this quite clear, we will not get involved with anybody who we don't actually like. So
Invicta are on board. They are on board. They've offered me a free cruise. You're not
Invicta.
Invited. You can go to Florida. I'll go on my Invicta cruise. It's all good in the hood.
They're welcome to sponsor your half of the audio, uh-huh. but they're not allowed to sponsor my half of the audio.
Because Panerai have got that tied up already. I understand.
Absolutely.
I understand.
Panerai. Panerai.
We'll get to that in a minute.
All right, okay.
So, no, listen, we've been doing this for over half a year now, and we don't. Mm-hmm. We've had people actually offer us. Since day one,
we've had lots of
things,
but
the way that we're looking at taking things forward, like equipment and all the rest of it, currently we're just using equipment that either I've got through my own business or a couple of bits and pieces you've bought, but we're looking to do higher end stuff. So if we're going to be speaking to different companies, if there's companies that are interested who aren't dicks, then yeah, we're up for having a chat and see what we can do, as long as it's of benefit to listeners and it doesn't get in the way of stuff, because I hate that. And see how that goes.
Cool. So we'll see if anybody's interested, hit us up, DM us on Instagram. And
well, isn't that a very professional way to do it? Why don't you email us instead?
Okay, well, because, okay, email us. Email rick@scottishwatches.co.uk or ricky@scottishwatches.co.uk. And if you email us both, you can maybe try and play us off against each other, see which one offers you the best deal.
Exactly. The thing is, we speak to so many people on a daily basis, through Instagram and email and Facebook, etc., that's to do with watches. And we speak to all the dealers, we speak to the owners, we're speaking to people at the brands. So we're quite connected with information. And if we can be a conduit to pass that on, then so be it. You know, it's happy days. As long as we're not ending up, we would never end up dealing with like Movement, Vincero or Watch Club or those kind of things.
That was who had emailed me already.
What's that?
Mate, what you done?
Which one? All three of them?
All three of them.
All three of them.
Yeah, anyway, good stuff. So we'll see what happens. Cool. So anyway, what are we moving on to? Panerai? Can we talk about Panerai?
Well, why don't we talk about... Oh, God, do we have to... Right, okay. Fantasy time.
Oh, Fantasy Watchbox. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, I know what it is.
Go.
Okay, Fantasy Watchbox this week. I don't think I've done this one before. It was a Zenith El Primero that I tried on. It was a Moonphase El Primero in white, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I don't know, I just... The El Primero seems to be one of these watches that everybody loves, mm-hmm. but I think too often just becomes the watch you would buy if you weren't buying this other thing. So, like, Adrian buys his Rolex. I mean, admittedly, Adrian bought his Rolex just so that Archie would stop giving him a hard time. But Adrian buys his Rolex, and it was maybe he would have bought an El Primero instead. And I can see Zenith. I mean, Zenith are definitely growing in popularity. They're getting their act together. Julian Turnier's a really good guy. We've both met him. And that El Primero, the moon phase, was just lovely. Still, though, I didn't buy it because there was something else I bought instead. Mm-hmm. But they're just growing on me, and they're just always there. I think one day an El Primero will have to be added.
Okay.
They are just lovely, lovely watches. Mm. So there you go, my watch of the day. It was a great the clasp and the bracelet, or it was a leather strap, but the clasp on it was absolutely wonderful. Right. So I recommend checking out Zenith El Primeros of all the varieties.
Good. Okay.
So what about you? See, I asked you quite quickly. I
That was like 0.3 of a second. Well done. Uh-huh. Obviously, you've got your
Hodinkee
skates on.
That was what we call a Hodinkee minute.
A Hodinkee minute. Right. Okay. Let me think. So it's Fantasy Watchbox game. This is something you have to have tried on. Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Just trying to think if there's any shittles I've tried. Oh, well, when I was over in Geneva, I tried on this Richard Mille. I mean, it was only about half a million. I mean, it was a wee shit one. And I tried that on. That was quite nice. We'll go with that one. So whichever random Richard Mille that I was handed over in Geneva, we'll go with that one. Yeah, there we are.
Cool.
But today I've been wearing my Casio G-Shock Redout 35th anniversary limited edition thing. Did you see what I posted on Instagram as well?
No.
No.
What have you posted? There's something this morning? Not looked at it?
Yes. I was in Next buying shit because Nando's wasn't open yet. And... That just tells you my life in one sentence, really, doesn't it? So I was buying air fresheners in Next, and they had all the gear.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I know you live in a farm, so everything smells like sheep shit, but seeing civilised
that's true.
Places, we have air fresheners and whatnot, so I was getting like reed diffusers, and they had some little ornament things out.
Can I ask a question? You're out buying air fresheners. That sounds to me like you might, you know... be inviting people to your house.
People.
Maybe you want to...
Plural.
Persons. Plural. Singular.
Singular.
Although, that you know, maybe a lady friend...
Are you saying that I'm nesting?
That you're nesting, yes. Are you trying to create a warm and comfortable environment for a lady friend? Is Ricky officially off the market?
Do you not listen to this podcast? Do you not listen to me speaking? Like, for the last...
Yeah, but I'm trying to get... Yeah, but I'm still trying to get more information out of you.
Don't you want to know?
Don't know. Does she know you're doing a Watches podcast?
Not in the slightest.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan.
It does. So this gives me at least another couple of weeks to go through and retroactively edit out all the mentions of Tinder from previous editions of the podcast.
And did you meet this person on Tinder?
Guess what?
Because it'd be really funny if you didn't.
I didn't. I did not.
All that wasted gold membership money.
Hey, at least I didn't buy a Panerai at retail, so...
Neither did I.
Neither did you. But, anyway, back in the farm, I was in it next, and they had all the shit that they do, or random ornaments, and they had these little hand things, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought they were maybe for putting jewellery on, but they're not, they're just ornaments. So I took my G-Shock off and put it on one of these gold hands and took a classy photo and flung it up on the gram. So that's what I'm wearing today.
I've not seen that this morning.
You should pay attention, 007. Oh.
Yep.
007.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that Omega that's coming out is going to be a ladies watch then?
Yeah. I need to actually switch my computer back or restart my computer back. Because you mentioned me that it says the next James Bond's a woman.
No, 007.
Said, or 007 is a woman. Mm-hmm. And so I had a look at this and I think folk were reading two things in. So James Bond in the next movie is not 007 because he's been sacked.
Right.
So there is a new 007 and it is a lady. Mm-hmm. So maybe she gets a watch as well.
Is it going to be a quartz with diamonds on it in a smaller size?
the watch internet and two particular people on the watch internet would melt if that happened to be the case. There would be outrage.
Who would they be?
Could you imagine it? Could you imagine if they get... Oh, I hope they've made that mistake because that'd be frighteningly funny and they get such stick for it. But can you imagine if they've given Daniel Craig whatever really cool new watch they've given him and then they've given 007 as she is some Diamante number that's 28 mil. That'd be hysterical.
Catelyn is spinning in her trailer park at the moment.
The Me Too movement hits Bond. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was expecting the Bond logo to come out in Pride colours as well. Because they hit almost every single hype point. Was it right? So they've got a female who's non-white. Yes. And then the next option is obviously to go down the sexuality route just so they can tick all the boxes to get maximum PR. But
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I mean, the new Doctor Who's a woman. Absolutely fine. I don't watch Doctor Who. It doesn't bother me.
Ghostbusters?
If the Ghostbusters, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about this. I have no problem with, entirely female-led casts on movies. Captain Marvel, Black Panther had lots of female leads in it, etc., etc. But rewriting movies to make the sequel or the follow-up female, can they not just have a female spy movie trilogy?
They tried that with Angelina Jolie in Wanted and Salt and things like that, and it worked good. Tomb Raider. It just seems to be done for PR purposes, I think. To create a stir. But hey, who knows. But anyway, that was a little bit of shoehorned in new watch content there with the whole 007 thing. So
yeah, we'll see what he comes up with. Our chat is that it's still going to be a brand new range of watches, not just a Seamaster that's updated for the Bond era.
And also, speaking of watches and films and whatnot, did you see the video with JLC and Benedict Cumbersnatch, or whatever his name is?
I didn't. I saw pictures of it. I've not actually seen the video of it.
It's not bad. He seems to be somebody that has half a clue about watches, which is...
Yeah, I think he does.
Which is 50% more of a clue than you do, obviously. And
well, this is true.
Yeah, although he should have really stuck up for, physics, maybe, and Doctor Strange. Did you see that one where they had the drawer and it opens up and you've got all the watch winders, but they're lying down, so the watches are kind of spinning horizontally. So obviously the rotors won't be going anywhere. Did you not see that?
No, I've not seen that.
That was a big point. Great film. Jesus, that let it down. So he's done a...
Was there not also a watch in a film where they did that, but it was a manual wind watch that was in a watch winder? Was that the same film?
Possibly.
I'm sure there's a film whereby somebody caught them out with that as well, and that, it was showing all these posh watch winders, but the watches that were in it were manual wind watches. Well, anyway, I can't remember what film it was. Somebody might out
I'm
there.
I'm pretty sure Jody at One More Watch puts Casios in his watch winder and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, digital ones, absolutely.
Digital Casios, yeah.
He just likes to see them spinning.
He does. He keeps those boxy winders just multiplying in the background. So, the GLC thing, I watched it quickly. He briefly talks about things. They've asked him very sort of poncy art-related questions, a moment in time, this, and, what would you say the most timing-sensitive thing is in the world of movies? And he tries his best to cash his paycheck from GLC, but yeah, check it out. He's a good actor, he's done well. Didn't like him in Star Trek, but apart from that, he's pretty cool. Did you see Sotheby's are getting in on the whole Moonwatch and moon landing stuff as well?
Yeah, you told me about this. I've not actually seen this, no. I plead ignorance.
Right, in a couple of days' time, this is getting recorded on the 17th, Wednesday, and I think it's the 19th, they are doing an Omega Speedmaster Moonwatch type extravaganza with lots of auctions, obviously timed perfectly to capitalise on the maximum amount of dosh. You know, it would have been good. Hodinkee doing some kind of Moonwatch thing with Bulova. That would have been good around a bit now.
Well, I think it's interesting that Hodinkee have launched this Blancpain right when everyone's going to be talking about Speedmasters. So maybe they got a knockback from Omega.
Maybe.
So maybe somebody else is about to... Obviously, Omega are going to do it, but maybe somebody else has got
the Bulova thing.
Got the well has got the sprint on on Houdinki for some special edition with Omega.
Anyway, we'll see. So, in a couple of days. Sotheby's, they've actually got a really cool PDF, sort of their catalogue of exactly what's going to be there. Now, they might delete it by the time this podcast comes out. So, thankfully, we've learned that in the world of watches, things get deleted quite quickly. So, see, when we find things, we hoard, we download, we upload elsewhere. So, I've downloaded the PDF, and it's good because you can read through it, and it gives you a little bit of history about the moonwatch, moon landings, you know, which soundstage NASA used to record all the footage, that kind of stuff. So, I'll upload that, and you can put it in the show notes.
I'm just looking, I've got
And you didn't get that joke whatsoever, did you?
No, what was the joke?
Never mind.
So, I'll say again, I'm busy scrolling. Sorry, I was too busy scrolling down the auction lot, so I wasn't saying, actually listening.
I was saying they go into detail about which soundstage NASA used to fake them. Never mind.
Oh, wreck.
Oh, there we go. There's. So, actually, one of the gold ones is already up for auction. what's that? Omega Spirit. Is that one of the first edition? Yeah, this is made in 1969 for 30 grand. Yeah, it's basically a Speedmaster. Is there any here I would actually like? What I want to know is, how did they manage to make a watch that was capable of going into space but not capable of going into the swimming pool? Always struck me as a bit weird.
If only we knew somebody that worked for Omega.
It also strikes me as strange that the main Omega Speedmaster watch doesn't actually have a moon phase complication on it. I mean, I know they've got a couple of ranges, but you'd have thought that that would be an appropriate focus.
I think if you're on the moon, you would kind of know
that you were there. What you really want is an Earth rise.
Exactly.
On your moonwatch.
You want something like that Mont Blanc, the geosphere.
The geosphere is very cool.
Love that
Love
thing.
The geosphere.
Oh, good news, guys. We were over at a Mont Blanc event a couple of weeks ago, and it was a bit of a monster edit because there was four mics running, etc., etc. That has finally been done. It's a collab between ourselves and Adrian at Bark and Jack. He's going to be dropping a video. We're going to be dropping the full interview with Davide Cerato, the CEO of Mont Blanc Watches. So that will be coming out probably Monday, I reckon.
Yes, in relation to this. Yep. I'm looking for. I'm just doing the show notes on it just now. It was a really enjoyable.
He is
actually.
A cool guy.
Really fun.
He is a cool guy.
He is. If I think I said this possibly in a previous podcast, but if I was a watch company that was looking to go places,
you did.
He'd be the guy. He'd be the guy I'd be tapping up because there's a couple of the CEOs that we've met that are really, really good, and he's absolutely one of them. Mm-hmm. So
that's one to check out, guys. It's very it's information dense about Mont Blanc history, where they're going, new stuff. But then midway through, he cuts into like his history with watches, how he got into it. You know, his first watch was it a digital pulsar with an LED? He was saying he got when he was because he was born in 1970 through the 70s, quartz crisis, blah blah blah. So it's very interesting. And we even take the piss out of float light and his dress sense towards the end. So tune in and stay to the end for that one. That'll be a good one.
Yep, look forward to that.
Try to think what else there is happening.
Panerai.
Okay then. Well, Panerai, I mean, those ones that they've just released information on, they look a bit Mont Blancish as well. They've been stealing the colour schemes.
They do actually, so green is clearly in. So Panerai have released the Radiomir 1940 collection with green dials.
Is that the 999? Is that the 999?
999?
Yeah.
No idea what you're talking about.
Is that not the model number?
Pam 999?
No. Come on, Mr. Panerai, play the game.
No. They're not there. PAM 735, 736, and 737. That's the previous Harrods ones, isn't it? Yeah, these are 995, 998, and 999,
See, I know things.
997. Yeah, well done. You can read the Houdinki article just as well as the rest of us.
So Porsche are going to be suing Panerai shortly then.
Who knows? These are quite good. I've seen some photos of these that make them look really cool, but actually the photos that have come out today aren't quite as good. Don't know why, but the one to have is probably, let me just get the right model number.
I like the ceramic one, funnily enough, because I like ceramic watches, but I think it looks
ceramic
pretty good.
The ceramic one's pretty big though, is that not 47 or 48?
And it's about $19,000.
Yeah, the one to have is probably the PAM 999. Because that's GMT and it's got a front-facing power reserve. It's only a three-day power reserve, so you really want to be able to see it.
Is that manual wind?
I assume so.
3 days?
Oh, no, hold on. Is it not? No, that's an automatic one with a micro-rotor, isn't it?
I would say so.
So
they wouldn't drop from 8 days down to 3.
Yeah. It's a nice looking movement with a micro rotor on it, actually, to be fair to them. So yes, it is in Mont Blanc green.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly they've been sharing the Pantone cars amongst the good fellows at Richemont.
Yeah.
And again, I say that Panerai is getting a mention. So the latest episode of Hodinkee Radio is with an American footballer who plays some sort of game in the past. But don't know about him, don't know about American football. Only one country plays it, let's face it. But he talks and waxes lyrical about buying his first Panerai when he was in Florence.
What's Florence's second name?
Sorry?
What's Florence's second name?
Florence's second name. Yeah, very good. Okay. The guy's name is Donnie Edwards, an NFL veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So you NFL fans out there maybe know who this guy is. I've not got a foggiest.
The non-football league.
He talks about Panerai being one of his first big watch purchases. So as I was saying, every big podcast I've listened to recently, somebody's talking about Panerai. So I'm telling you, it's on its way back. There's going to be queues at ADs and they're going to be running out of stock any day now.
Really? Well, I was listening to a wee podcast that didn't mention Panerai. we've had a guy on the show. He works, I think it's for Sofa King or DFS or something like that. Delivering.
Yeah, it was DFS.
Is it DFS? So he started a podcast or something like that, and he had Paul Thorpe, the ex-watch dealer that we've mentioned a couple. Well, I've mentioned a couple of times on.
Yes.
And you know, let's call a spade. Adrian did well for his first podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, our first podcasts were shocking. They still are. Hate telling people to go back and listen from episode one. We don't. We tell them episode 10 plus. But he had a 45-minute chat with Paul Thorpe, going into a lot of information about the grey market, dealers, mm-hmm. and things not even way back in the day. Things 3 years ago, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, when I remember when I first got into watches, walking into a Rolex shop, as I called them back then, and seeing Steel Sports Submariner, a GMT, GMTLN, sitting in the window. You could just walk in and buy it, and you could even try and haggle for a discount. And how times have changed. And he was telling some amazing stories about some watches that slipped through his fingers that are now worth house money that he could have picked up on. So Adrian has got the Bark and Jack podcast that is out now in most places. It will be in all places shortly. It takes a wee while for these things to propagate. You get it on iTunes, you can get it in Google Play, Spotify and SoundCloud. 45 minutes. It's not the first episode you want to go for, it's the second episode. For some reason, his first episode is just him dribbling in a microphone for 3 minutes, seeing if it works or not. So it's all good. What did you think of it yourself? Did you have a listen?
I have only got halfway through it because...
You fell asleep?
Sorry?
You fell asleep?
I fell asleep, yeah, no. Because the podcaster I use doesn't actually have his channel on it as yet.
Oh, okay.
So I was having to do it directly from SoundCloud, and that meant that when my phone switched off, I couldn't continue listening to it, so I haven't had a chance to go back in and reload it, because I have to listen to it effectively streaming rather than downloaded.
And when you were listening to that SoundCloud, did that mess up your playlist with your K-pop?
Yes, yes. All my Korean movement, my BTS greatest hits is now all mangled.
Now that's what I call gospel music, volume 14.
You're impressed that I knew that BTS existed as a Korean, South Korean band, as K-pop.
You're impressed
that I knew that.
Is that your favourite track on Dance Dance Revolution?
I was listening to Status Quo's latest new drop.
Is one of them not dead?
So there you go. One of them, at least one of them is dead. The other there is only barely was two. Hanging on. There was.
What one died?
There was four and then five. Rick died, so that might be a warning to us both. The world now has one less Rick in it.
When you've been telling people to send Catelyn unsolicited Rick pics like Rick Parfitt, you've been asking people to send photos of dead folks to Catelyn.
Of dead people.
That's nice.
I see dead people.
That's nice. Well, here's our film reference for this week. Don't go and see... What's the name of that fucking film I saw? Is it Glass?
Oh, right, the Glass, the Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, and the Scottish bloke.
Aye, it is shite.
Is it rubbish? Is this an M. Night Shyamalan ring-a-ding-a-lang-a-doodan film?
Look.
M. Night Shyamalan.
The Sixth Sense, well done. The rest of them, meh. This was, I mean, I think I'm maybe about an hour in, and it got deleted, so... Who's
Bruce
that
Willis
guy?
Is it's, dead.
Probably. I'm trying to think who is the other guy. It's James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, yeah, from X-Men.
From Paisley, isn't it? No, where's he from? Gerard Butler's from Paisley. Where's McAvoy from?
Gerard Butler's from Paisley.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Well, let's consult Wikipedia. James McAvoy is from... Ah, dear, where's it born? Glasgow.
Oh, fair
born
enough.
Glasgow.
Whereabouts in Glasgow? That's a big place.
It is a big place. It doesn't tell you. Hold on. Scottish actor. I'm going to do my Tim Mosso impression.
Did you about say Jordan Hill there?
No. I was going to say Johnson, but that was his mother's maiden name. I just saw the word Johnson. I think it was near Drumchapel.
Oh.
Hold on, I need to stop a second.
Rick's colostomy bag has ruptured.
And we're back.
Hmm.
You there?
Did you get the puncture repair cut out in time?
For what?
Never mind, you'll hear an edit.
What did you say?
Nothing.
So,
James McAvoy from Glasgow.
James McAvoy from Drumchapel. Yep.
So, yep, don't go and see, well, not even don't go and see, don't illegally download from the Pirate Bay the film Glass, allegedly.
It's not worth your bandwidth.
It's not worth your bandwidth and your download and your email from Virgin saying, we have it in good authority, you may have illegally downloaded some movies to your account, which you just ignore anyway, I've heard. So yeah, don't download that, it's crap. It's only at 6.7 on IMDb as well. That was a waste.
Right, okay.
So go and watch something else. I mean, there's Detective Pikachu. Go and watch that.
That's supposed to be quite good.
That's apparently the number one grossing animated film, blah, 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 to do. Oh, what was it? A game converted to a movie? So well done, it's beaten.
Yes, it's basically supposed to be, what's the other character he plays? What's the Marvel character?
Deadpool.
It's basically Deadpool for kids.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it's him that's doing it, it's him that does the accent, and I've heard clips of it, and it basically just sounds, you just can't get Deadpool out your head.
Ah.
So yeah, it's basically PG Deadpool.
Cool. Do you play Pokemon Go?
No. I've downloaded. Is that the one where you kind of wander around the countryside looking for the wee animals?
That's as good a description as you're going to get.
As you get. Mm-hmm. I do recall downloading it just to see what all the fuss was about.
Uh-huh.
And then that was it, basically. I saw what all the fuss was about, decided I did not want to be involved in said fuss, and moved along.
Okay, so you decided on Christianity instead.
That's it. Made a positive choice for life.
You believe in Christianity, not Pokemon. Okay.
I thought that prayer was a better form of spending my time rather than chasing imaginary animals.
Well, I was about to use...
We're not talking spaghetti monsters.
Well, you went down the imaginary friends route there, so we'll just leave it at that. So it's all good. I don't know how we ended up talking about this. Oh, yeah, films. So...
Yes,
that was that.
We were going to get an ex-girlfriend story there. Did you change your mind?
Oh shit! You picked up and you're sharp today. I'll tell you that, boy. yeah, I was dating somebody a couple of years ago, and she still is totally into the Pokemon Go stuff. She does raids with groups, which I suppose, I mean, it keeps her on the streets in a non-exploitive money-related. Oh, wow. So, yeah, she's cool.
Is this the same ex-girlfriend that's on YouTube?
Let me think. No, different one.
No, different ex-girlfriend.
So we've got the one that does the gaming podcast.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I can't remember what username she uses.
This would suggest that
Girls
you have
on the
tight,
Game.
Girls on the Game.
There was Girls on the Game. And then we've got the other ex-girlfriend, the more recent one, who's into Pokemon Go, has like her own Discord server, runs a group in Glasgow. Oh, yeah, it's all singing, all dancing. So, yeah.
Well, good stuff. Well,
and just, I need to clarify something as well. Uh-huh. These people are in their mid-20s. They're not like children or kids or anything like that, right? Mid-20s to late... Actually, probably they're 30 now-ish. So it's all good in the hood, guys. Don't be phoning...
Cool.
Don't be grassing me into people's... speaking of films, again, Fast and the Furious is getting filmed in Scotland, over in Edinburgh.
Oh, right, okay.
The new one, I think it's the...
Hold on. The Fast and the Furious has been filmed around Edinburgh. They'll manage about 3 miles an hour. Edinburgh's like the worst city in the world to get round.
Oh, yes. And funnily enough, the headline in the newspapers was there's going to be road closures in Edinburgh. And it's like, every bloody day.
What is new there then?
What is new? So that's good. No, it's good they're coming back. There's been quite a bit of film involvement in Scotland over the past sort of 10 years. World War Z and then Fast and Furious. I think it was 6 because I was working on that one. And now they're doing stuff in Edinburgh. So happy days.
Cool.
So if you're going down to Prince's Street to see our friends at Chisholm Hunter, expect more delays than usual.
Did you see Monday night's Watchbox?
No. Why? Was it good?
Right. You missed out. Yes, because I logged on to it as from the Scottish Watches account.
Why didn't you use your Rictic Talk account?
Yes. Why did I not use my Rictic? Because I have been banned from Watchbox.
What did you
Can you believe it? Me. I think I might have caught one of their senior members of staff plagiarising video content.
Really?
And somebody's clearly not happy about the truth being exposed.
Oh.
And has decided to take it out on me.
So how did you find out you got banned?
Well, because I said hello to one of the many Scottish people, and Watchbox should be made aware that there is a disproportion, for some reason, I don't know why, there's a completely disproportionate in relation to the population of the world of Scottish people that inhabit the live chat on Watchbox.
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of know each other. So I logged on my Rictic Talk account and said hello to one of them, and then nothing. So I said hello to another one of them. Nothing.
Nobody likes you.
I did a shout out to Scottish Watches and anyone that's interested, and again nothing. So I thought this is a bit odd. I don't know, folk do ignore me from time to time, but this is a bit strange. So I thought I'll log on to the Scottish Watches account and then scroll back the live chat. So I did that, scroll back the live chat, and none of my chat from the Rictic Talk account appeared, so it's been shadow banned. So you think that you're contributing to the chat, but actually nobody can see what you're saying. So anyway, I went on Monday's show from the Scottish Watches account and started engaging in some chat. And let it be said, I've never said anything remotely rude, offensive, or threatening from
That's my
any
job.
Of my accounts. That's your job.
Yes.
So it's just because somebody's taking umbrage at, you know, the truth being quite right. But anyway, let me come on to another YouTube chat. Remind me to come on to another YouTube channel in a minute. Watchbox on Monday, doing the Scottish Watches thing, engaging with Tim and all the rest of it. And I can't remember how it played out, but basically somebody said, "Hey Tim, why don't you go on the Scottish Watches podcast?" To which was followed quite a few people saying, "Tim, go on the podcast, go on the podcast." To which I obviously, from the official account, said, "Tim, do you want to come on?" And various people said, "Go on the show, go on the show." And Tim at one point says, "I see you saying to go on the show. What show is it?" And then a whole load of folk go, "Scottish Watches, Scottish Watches." So we got a big lot of shout outs. So I have messaged Tim to see if we can get him on the show. We will keep trying because he's the big cheese. I would really love to interview him. I'd actually really love to interview the guy and not about watches, because, you know, he's got this whole Navy backstory and stuff that I think is quite fascinating. Obviously what he wants to go on and do next, because I can't imagine he'll finish his days at Watchbox. So I have reached out. So if you are on any Watchbox content, please just message Tim in the chat and say, "Tim, have you answered Scottish Watch's message? Are you going to go on the podcast?" So together we can make it happen.
Well, I've emailed him a couple of times. I know he's super busy. He said this on the show, that he gets inundated with emails.
Absolutely.
Like hundreds, if not thousands a week. So he can't get back to everybody. And I have asked him, I've said, "Do you want to come on?" Because we had
Zach
Regal.
Yes.
Yeah. Way back at the start, CQ did the audio for us. It worked great. And he was a great guest, and after that, obviously, we've had other people, and I got back in touch and said, "Can we get Tim?" Never really heard much about it, but he is the guy that got me super interested in the hobby through all his videos, so
yeah,
it'd be absolutely fantastic to get him on. Plus, he is the man when it comes to everything. Him, Ariel, Ben Clymer are probably, and Waco are the top guys, I would say, you know, in this field. So, yeah, let's all put some pressure.
Yes, so I know that he does say that he reads all of the comments. So go into anything he's recently done, and in the comment section, just ask him the question. Yes, so that led me on to thinking about another. So have you come across Watch With Us Media?
Is that not the one where the guys were tapping the table?
Yes. So Spanish Rob is involved with it.
Yeah.
But there's this other chap who used to be, I think he used to be a Bremen sales representative or AD or something, and he's done a video about my five favourite watch YouTube channels, and it's just cringeworthy. So you need to go and check this out. So his five favourite are, well, I'll let you guess, what do you think his five favourite are?
Probably number one would be Urban Gentry.
He doesn't put them in an order, so yeah, Urban Gentry is one of them. because he says that he worked with, Tristano, and that Tristano's a great guy and has never hurt anybody in his life.
Right, okay, so it'll be Urban Gentry, Theo and Harris, Federico Talks Watches.
Theo and Harris.
Federico. Teddy Baldassar?
No, I'm trying to think what the second one is. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through here.
Do you know what you're talking about here?
Yes, but very unhelpfully, he's not actually put it in the show notes. So Theo and Harris is number one.
Right. TGV will be in there.
Then TGV is the second one.
Time Teller, maybe?
No, Hodinkee.
Huh? Right.
Watchbox. Mm-hmm. And then in a kind of, oh, I'm so funny, look at me being humble, his own channel.
Right.
So there we go. So well, I'll leave it at that.
It's not like...
I would like Spanish Rob to come on the show, but I don't think me and this particular chap are going to get on.
Spanish Rob owes me a favour, so I will have a word. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd really like to speak to him. He seems
He's a cool guy. Yeah, he's cool.
A cool guy.
I will get in touch. So, right, so that's the Watch With Us media thing. So are we missing a trick?
What, in terms of...
Well, the two cats have got their thing as 10 and 2 media.
Uh-huh. Oh, right, do you think we should call us Scottish Watches Media?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that a good idea?
Interesting.
I mean, Adrian's going to be renaming his thing BJ Media.
Yeah. I see what these Watch With Us Media guys are trying to do.
What they're trying to do.
And they're sticking, to be fair to them, they're sticking at, well, what they're basically doing is they're trying to bring a number of people that already have high profiles with various other channels or Instagram accounts, and they're trying to bring them together into some sort of collective to take on, you know, the big guys, and obviously to benefit from it because they've all got various sideline watch interests in some way, shape or form.
Right.
And to be fair to them, they are sticking at it because they're not getting... They're all right traction-wise. They've got about 1,500 subscribers, but we've got like 800 odd and we don't produce any video. Mm-hmm. And we've been going just as long as they have.
Yep. And we're so up to, what, 4,000 on Instagram as well now?
Yeah, we should be. By the time this goes out, I think we're at 4,000 Instagram followers. So
in
thank
6 months
you all very much for that.
Without buying any, which is pretty good.
We didn't buy any. To be fair, I have done the old, like, follow people that I think might be interested in following us back. But to be fair, when they do follow us back, I don't unfollow them. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's all good. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this bunch. But there's not really much appeared. Everybody's going, frankly, everyone's going to podcasts. I think even Paul, your guy who was on Adrian's, has also mentioned that he's going to do his own podcast.
No, he has. I think it went up today. It was a 15-minute, this is odd, a 15-minute audio-only podcast that he put on YouTube, whereas his YouTube videos are about 20 minutes to 40 minutes, and his podcast is about 15 minutes. So he's got that around the wrong way, but he'll get it sorted. Yeah, I think everyone listens to podcasts and thinks it's easy, because we make it sound easy, because... It's not difficult.
Because we make it sound so good.
We make it sound good. You know, it's like, wow, those guys know what they're doing, when we really don't. But the behind-the-scenes stuff, it's not just a case of press and record. Like I said in a previous episode, if people want, a couple of people did message and say they did, if they want us to go a bit more deep on what's involved in doing a podcast and doing it right, not just hitting record and then uploading a noisy file to the interwebs for people to download. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make stuff sound good. Cutting out pauses, mistakes, EQ, balancing, normalising, compressing, limiting, blah, blah, blah. Loads of things that will make you go to sleep. But yeah, everyone seems to be jumping on the podcast bandwagon. Good on them. I mean, the more the merrier. I just hope people don't get, like I've said before, I don't want people to think it's easy. Record 1, 2, 3, 5 episodes, not get the traction or find out it's difficult, and then throw the towel in and feel a bit jaded with the whole hobby because they tried something and it's not 100% work. Because that's how you fall out of love with things. Yes. And your hobby is your passion. It's something you do as an aside from your work. You don't want to get pissed off with it. So go into it as you're doing it for yourself. Don't expect big numbers straight away. And if you get decent numbers, then great stuff. You know, just keep at it, but don't lose your passion. Don't lose the interest in your hobby.
There you go. Word for the day from Ricky.
Indeed. What's that called? A sermon?
Sermon, yes, your pronunciation, your words of wisdom.
Right, good. Yes.
You preach it. I should say, preach it, brother, preach it. And an amen to that.
Indeed. So when are you inviting me along to church?
It's open 24 hours a day. You can just wander along. You don't need me to give you an invite. You're more than welcome.
Is there not a special handshake, or is that somebody else I'm thinking about?
No, that's somebody else thinking about.
Right, okay, cool. Your name's not down, you're not getting in. So that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's a different thing.
It is. Well, we're sitting here on the 17th. We're, what, 3 days away from T-minus 3 days? Is that what we
T-minus
would say?
3 days, yep. I'm just, what, just to go back to the old Hodinkee thing, what's really funny is, okay, it's a limited edition, and it says sold out, and it invites you to join the waiting list. Okay, how's that going to work? Join the waiting list for a limited edition that you've sold out of.
What they do is they then pass your email details onto the scalpers and they send you the eBay link so you can bid on it. That's how that works.
There's an there's an interesting business model. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hodinkee get to make... Now, there you go. what has
they
actually happened
dip.
Here... What has actually happened here, allegedly, is that Hodinkee have, in fact... bought all 100 of them and will now resell them on eBay for more than $9,900. They'll sell them for $1,200.
That is pure
Ben
class.
Climber will make $600,000 from them rather than $300,000.
Pure class.
There we go.
Yes. Alrighty. That's... So I think that just about covers everything for this episode. Things are a little bit quiet just now because everyone's just sitting waiting for this moon stuff to drop.
Yeah. Is something going to drop? Are they going to do something?
One?
Are they gonna miss the most, the largest own goal, open goal rather? Are they gonna score the worst own goal by missing the world's largest open goal by actually doing nothing on the actual day?
I reckon Friday, Saturday, something will happen. 321 new limited editions will drop.
So what will it be of? A Planet Ocean? A Pro Prof?
You never know.
So what do you think? So they've surely, I mean, they said, I'm sure the original press releases and comments around it were they weren't going to use the 3-2-1 movement for anniversary watches this year.
Did it say that?
Strikes me as being, I'm sure that I've seen that written down somewhere in correspondence. Might not have been in the original press release, but was reported elsewhere when they were queried about it. And I might be wrong. And I might be right, but they still might go back on that. So what's your prediction? Is a 3-2-1 watch, exact replica, 321 issued?
Yeah, I think come Friday, Saturday, I don't know if it'll be... Because they're talking about the time when they launched from Earth. Then there's the time where they got to the moon.
Yesterday, yeah.
And then there was the time when they got out of the module onto the surface. You know, you've got all these little time points over the course of three or four days. So we'll just have to see. Uh-huh. It'll be an interesting time. Yeah. And you're going on holiday, you said?
Yes.
So I'm going to have to...
You're going to find some guests.
Okay.
Find a co-host.
Find someone to fill your boots.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you probably need two or three people, to be fair.
Boots. Not trousers, so it'll be fine.
Okay, fair enough.
It will be fine. All right, so what are you doing in Florida?
Oh, roller coasters. Nice. I don't know if there's any watch stuff to do over there.
Okay.
I have to go through a couple of airports, but I don't know if there's any. I think it's Newark, which I seem to recall is just like the world's dullest airport next to Charles de Gaulle in Paris.
And Prestwick.
Both incredibly dull airports. Prestwick's pretty dull, to be fair, but it's not really an international hub of an airport. Unlike Newark, and then flying down to Orlando. Mm-hmm. I assume Orlando will be full of Cheesy Tat and Daniel Wellington. So I suppose I might bump into Kat.
I was going to say, you're going to be hooking up with Kat.
We must know, there must be some listeners to this show that are based in Florida. If there happened to be anyone that worked for Universal Studios and could get us a good deal, although it might be too late by the time this podcast goes out. I should have thought of that last week, shouldn't I? But anyway, so I will report back. I've got to decide what I'm taking because I'm not sure I'm going to take the Panerai with me.
Why not? You think somebody might steal it?
It's not so much steal it as that I'm not sure that a crystal that protrudes quite that much is really the thing to wear on a roller coaster.
Do things generally hit you when you're on a roller coaster?
Well, no, but your arms hit off the metal sides and stuff like that.
So you on a roller coaster, does that resemble Donkey Kong in Mario Kart? You're just this big ogre hanging out of this little device.
I have to sit in the middle seat so that there are two empty seats beside me, and they're always very concerned that if I am on an outside seat, they need to make sure that somebody equally big is on the other side. But in America, that's not going to be a problem.
This is true. Good stuff. So have fun there. I'm going to be speaking to the Half Watch Tuesday guys in your absence. So you've got them coming on. That's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of different accents floating around. That will be fun. The guys are quite entertaining. We've met them quite a number of times in person at different events, Red Bar meetups and whatnot. So that'll be cool. And like we said, on Monday, we will be dropping our Mont Blanc interview with the CEO of their watch division, Davide. So that really wraps things up. Do you want to tell people where to go?
Yes, go to the usual places, particularly this week, go to YouTube. Because Scottish Watches, there will be actual video coming soon because of the whole Mont Blanc thing. It'll be double featured there. So you can get actual video of actual people on YouTube. So go just search Scottish Watches, subscribe, click the bell icon, all that jazz. Website's www.scottishwatches.co.uk. A couple of cool new articles, especially one about Invicta.
Did I write that?
No, you didn't. Sanford wrote it.
Does it say good things or bad things about Invicta?
It says, it basically comes to the same conclusion as you do, which is that the watch in itself, his particular one, had some major flaws, but it wasn't very expensive and it's made him feel that he now knows what he wants in a watch if he was going to go and buy a Submariner or whatever, a Regnault. So yeah, I think it basically comes to the same conclusion that actually it's all a bit harmless fun. So long as you actually understand what it is you're buying and go with your eyes open. So it's a good article. And there is also an interesting collaboration coming out, which you can check out from Watch Nerd. So go and look at his stuff. That is a infographic review of the different kinds of watch straps. So that's very specifically just a wee educational thing. So as you can know what the difference is between a Jubilee strap and an Oyster bracelet and a NATO and all the rest of it.
Copyright, trademark.
All the rest of it. Who knows what it's going to say. But we still haven't got our cease and desist from anywhere, so this is my attempt to get it.
Good. Glad
so
to hear it.
That's that. So have a look at that. And we've got some other good reviews coming up as well.
Cool.
So go and check out the website for all of them. And if you would like to write something, then get in touch. Rick@scottishwatches.co.uk and we will organise that.
Good. Also, we've got a mailing list that we've mentioned a couple of times. We're going to be doing probably monthly mail outs. We don't want to piss people off, and you know what it's like when you get an inbox full of spam. So if you're interested in finding out what's happening, we're going to sort of collate information together on interesting things, stuff that's happened in the podcast, a recap of big events, things that are coming, new meetups, new store launches, blah, blah, blah. Anything of interest to people with watches. So just sign up. We will keep your details. We will not sell them. We will not hand them out, blah, blah, blah. It's all good. It's all stored with MailChimp as well, so it's all secure. It's not going to get doxed like some people have been recently. So anyway, that is about us. So take us away.
Good stuff. Well, goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.